Ramsey TV.
Hello, everyone. Martin Zender from the edge of the bottom of the Floridan Peninsula. To distinguish it from other peninsulas, don't want you to get confused. This is the Floridan Peninsula. There are many other peninsulas in the world. Don't make me go through them. It's a long list. Why don't I adjust this microphone before the show starts? I don't know. Anyway, everyone, welcome to the show. So I got the report from the biopsy this morning, and the squamous cell carcinoma is back. So that was not what I wanted to hear, but as I told you, it's almost what I expected to hear. And Maria and I were kind of shook at first about that. It's not good news, but I mean, now I have to have surgery to remove it. And so that's another trial coming up. But God, we held each other tight. We were sitting on the sofa and we hugged each other. And she said something so meaningful to me. She said, "It feels like I'm the one who got it. We're so one." And it's the same way with her. Whenever she is upset or has a headache or something, I feel it. And I can't be happy when she's upset. So indeed, she bears my burdens. I bear her burdens. I feel bad about it, but then I tell her, and she knows this, that this is of God. She knows I believe that God does all things, and there's a reason for everything. There's a reason for this. And I said, you know what? Let's just go out for a walk. And we did, and we held hands, and we walked, and we had a nice talk. And then the coolest thing happened. We got back home. And we sat out on the patio. And she read some of your comments. She said, "Boy, there's a lot of comments on the show today." And she read them out loud to me. You know, I had tears in my eyes. And they were just such beautiful comments. Some of them I had answered. And I'm sorry if I didn't get to everybody. But so she was very appreciative of your comments. And she's amazed at this beautiful thing called the BOC, as some of you call it, but the body of Christ. And so, you know, it's just another, I told her, well, I guess we're in for another adventure. So obviously something has to be done. And so now we're going to find a surgeon. That's up to God too. We're going to try to do the right thing. We always try to do the right thing. Sometimes we screw up and we do the absolutely wrong thing. But we're human. It's trial and error. You learn by your mistakes, you know. So we're in it together. It's an adventure. Hand in hand, we will get through this. And before I even told Kelly about the diagnosis, she had sent flowers. In fact, while I was talking to her on the phone, we got a knock at the door, and a beautiful bouquet of roses showed up. Here's a picture of it. It's from my sister Kelly with a note, and the note says, "Dearest Maria, thank you for being an angel." So Kelly appreciates that I have a woman, Maria, who's an angel, takes care of me, loves me, and takes care of me. So that was really great. Maria instantly sent a text to Kelly. "Thank you, dear sister. I just love all this, you know." So I said to my wife, I said, "Baby, look what this is inspiring. It's inspiring people out there. They make all these comments, and they see me making a show in spite of being ill, really, and in spite of everything." And many of you will remember last year, I actually made a show from the hospital bed with a tube up my nose and a tube in my arm, and it just, yeah. So I told her, we inspire people, baby, and people exalt God because of it, right? They exalt God because it's God, God is the one who gives us the faith, and I rest in God, and I know that this is from God for a purpose. And Maria believes that everything has a purpose. Everything has a there's a reason for everything. That's just common sense. It's otherwise the world's in chaos. And if you look at the universe and the regularity of the sun and the moon and the stars and the seasons, and you look at a bird flying, you don't see chaos. You see perfect order, perfect symmetry. You see that life is so complex, and God keeps the birds alive and the bees alive and the trees and the sun doing what it does, and every day is a miracle. So how can there not be a reason for everything? And so together we look at it as another adventure, not one that we would have ordered for ourselves. But and why God wants me to go through this again, you know, I don't know. But Rob Weil sent a beautiful poem. I want to read it Monday. Maybe I should read it today. You know what? I should do that today. I was going to go through the Paul letter from another Rob. There's another Rob. Remember, I told you he was comparing me to the Apostle Paul, and he talked about suffering. Talked about that both these things are so helpful. I hardly know what to do. I thought I had it figured out before I turned on the show, but now I'm not so sure. Oh, before I go into that, here, I want to show you some cute notes that Maria and I write to each other. She writes me little reminders of when to take pills, and she makes special chicken soup with collagen in it. I never look at the bottom of the pot. You don't want to look at the bottom of a pot because that's where all the chicken claws are, but it produces collagen. So she's very, very clever woman, and she, when you warm up the soup, it's very gross when you take it out of the refrigerator because it's gelatinous. But then when you warm it up, it's actually quite delicious and healthy. So, and then I drink this ocean water. So she has all these wonderful notes, and I write notes back to her, and we love doing the note thing. So there's that. There's some of those notes. Just she took these pictures, and I wanted to show them to you, just to show you the kind of communication that Maria and I have. And folks, marriage is all about communication. And it, you know, sometimes you have difficult communications, but difficult communication is better than no communication. And when love is the bond, then you always figure things out, you always work things out. I couldn't be happier married to this woman. I thank God for her. And I know you thank God, just like Kelly, that you thank God for her, and Kelly does too. Dearest Maria, thank you for being an angel. Yes, she's an angel who takes care of me, so I'm in good hands. Thank you very much. You know, I'm going to go with the original plan here. But first, I want to read Rob. Rob Wild wrote me such a sweet email. He sent me, it was actually over WhatsApp, and I asked him permission to read it to you, and it was so encouraging to me. This is what Rob said. Rob Weil, our friend, our brother, dear brother from Alberta, Canada. Just a short text for you, brother. I can't express how you have helped me over the years grow and mature as a believer. It is staggering when I actually think about the eye-opening revelation God has given me through your teachings and writings. I remember how I jumped literally for joy in the shower when I first read your IBI newsletter. That's the Idle Babbler Illustrated. This was probably back in 95. I think Rob started getting my newsletter in 1995. Could have been 94. When I first read your IBI newsletter, jumped for joy in the shower. And let me tell you, Rob will tell you, he had a really terrible childhood. He was abused terribly, and if anyone would have a reason to want to just give up, it would be Rob Weil, because he was treated so badly by people when he was growing up. So why wouldn't he think that God was also a tyrant? And yet it just thrills me for him to tell me that my simple newsletter back in 1995 showed him a God that loved him. And I read this to Maria, too, and she said, wow, that is an amazing story. It is staggering, Rob says, when I think about the eye-opening revelation God has given me through your teachings and writings. I remember how I jumped literally for joy in the shower when I first read your IBI newsletter and realized God actually loved me no matter what. And that is something Mr. Weil had never experienced in his life. And I laughed with joy at the freedom I felt when you shared such beautiful truth with humor that was so awesome. You have been such a mentor and friend these many years, brother, and your continued perseverance, bringing teaching every day through such a horrible trial you're going through, has not gone unnoticed. I just wanted to thank God first, and thank you, Brother Martin, for the dedication for the saints and the upbuilding of the body of Christ in love. Keep going. You are needed so much, especially in these last days. Grace and peace, my friend and brother. Man, is that beautiful? That was from Rob Weil. This is what I mean. And I read this to my wife, and she was also like, wow. And I told her the story of Rob's past and what he went through. And I said, and here's God using my little newsletter with the cartoons and, like Rob says, humor, and yet letting people know of the true God, the God who does love, the God who's not a tyrant. And I explained to her how so many people were raised thinking of God as a tyrant, as a old man in a white beard just ready to pull the rug out from under you and condemn you, watching every move you make. And of course, the religions we were raised in as kids really made us question whether God was even sane, because, well, I was raised in the Catholic Church, and so was my wife, and we both had crazy nuns raising us, and they were not a good reflection on the kindness of God. And so it is by the grace of God that we are able to come out of this condemnation and guilt that we learned as children and understand the true God. And explaining to you yesterday my passion, and I explained it to my wife too. I tried to explain it this way, like if my earthly father, who was such a gentleman, such a good man, brought me up right, taught me how to respect women, and just taught me so many wonderful lessons. If somebody or if a group of people were to tell lies about him, oh, Martin's dad's a drunkard, he beats his kids, he abuses his wife, I would defend him. I would defend my earthly father. Of course I would. I would stand up and say, no, it's not true. It's not true. Everybody listen. And I would just be so passionate about making sure everybody got the story straight. That's something important, to get the story straight with someone you love. And I look at my father, God, the same way. And it drives me crazy to see his name dragged through the mud, to see him thought of as a tyrant, as somebody who insists you behave yourself or else. He's a grouchy God. He's a mean God. He's arbitrary. He's capricious. He's cruel. Awful. Like the Grinch before the Grinch got saved, you know? Oh, like Santa Claus. Has a list. Checked it twice. Gonna find out if you're naughty or nice. Well, at least Santa Claus, if you're bad that year, he sends you a lump of coal. The Christian God sends you to eternity in torment. So Santa Claus is much kinder than the Christian God. And so it's my burden, and I have a burden to deliver people from this misunderstanding about God, right? It's total misunderstanding that people have, and it just drives me crazy. I don't like to think that people actually believe this about God. Let me now. And there's a beautiful poem Rob sent, and he read it. And I'm going to play Rob's video on Monday. Rob's made a video reading a poem that he found in Unsearchable Riches magazine, and it's beautiful. So the next couple days, today, and I know the weekend ensues, but Monday, we're going to go stay on the same theme, which is affliction, which is finding meaning in afflictions, in trouble, realizing that everything has a purpose, and in the end, when you see it, it's going to work out. Everything's going to work out in the end. If it's not worked out, then it's not the end. So maybe I'll just get started on this, okay? So this is another Rob. This is Rob, N-R-A-A-1. That's how he signs in his comments. And again, this is him asking, this is what he asked AI. Check out Martin Zender and the current physical suffering he's experiencing and discuss the parallels between him and the Apostle Paul and suffering for the sake of the gospel and the hypothesis of when bringing the high revelation of truth and God's revelation of the untraceable riches of Christ, the corresponding suffering increases. Also relates Zender as a type of modern-day Paul. Before I begin this, I have to comment again. As I said yesterday, I never set out to imitate Paul. I set out to imitate my heroes as a kid, which were Dick Butkus, Gale Sayers, Ernest Hemingway, and Mark Twain. Interesting combination, yes. In the writing department, the brutal reality, the hard-hitting truth of Ernest Hemingway, and the light, airy, satirical, funny, ironic writing of Mark Twain. It was a great combination. I put those two together, I think, fairly successfully. And then I loved the NFL. My dad and me used to watch football, and my hero was Dick Butkus, just for the concentration that man had and his single-minded focus. Paul actually talks about being single-mindedly focused toward Christ, but he compared the body of Christ to a virgin. But Paul didn't know about Dick Butkus. If Paul had known about Dick Butkus, he would say, I betrothed you to Christ as Dick Butkus, and I want you to be single-minded in your purpose, like concentrate on Christ, like Butkus used to concentrate on quarterbacks and running backs. Paul would have said that, but he didn't know Dick Butkus, so he compared the body of Christ to a virgin instead. Not as exciting, but... And then Gale Sayers also, ironically, with the Chicago Bears, Sayers and Butkus drafted in the same year. Gale Sayers gracefully running the ball, a running back, swift of foot, dodging in and out, and Butkus on defense. They didn't play on the field at the same time. Gale Sayers, offense, running back, Dick Butkus, middle linebacker, defense, but... And the Bears still lost almost every game. I don't know how they managed to do that, but... So, I didn't set out to be like Apostle Paul, but as I have grown older, and I hate to talk about this because I don't like to think of myself as older, but I am. I have come to accept that mantle, accept the mantle, and wanting it, and enough people have told me of what my work means, and I have developed over the years, this doesn't come at once, I've developed over the years a love and care for you, for the ecclesia, and a desire for us, all of us, to be of one mind, and to acknowledge one teaching, and to get the teaching right. And as I read Paul and see the example of that, more and more I follow that example, and then it dawns on me as the years pile up, especially as the years pile up, I look back and I say, oh my God, I kind of am fulfilling that role of a modern day Apostle Paul. And I want to exceed everyone, like I'm very, very competitive, like Paul was. In fact, at one point he said, I labor more than all of you. And he compared himself to the circumcision, and he says, I work harder than all of them. And so he was very competitive. And I'm the same way. So the more time goes and the more I mature, the more I'm willing to accept this. I'm not Paul. There's only one Paul, but I do see that God has given me the passion of the man, the spirit of the man, the care of the man for the ecclesia. That's the thing that really surprises me. Not that I don't love people, but that I developed this compassion for all of you, especially as I see it coming from you to me, and it's a love fest. And Paul had a love fest with all the ecclesias, it's true. So I'll just start with this briefly, and then I'm going to continue on Monday, and then we'll do a short clip of Rob. I'm it's very late. I'm tired. Yeah, I'm hurting, but I'm not going to say that every day. Just assume that I'm going to be freaking gutting through this thing. And thank you for your prayers. Again, your comments were absolutely fantastic and necessary and needed. It was a rough day. On the other hand, it was a day of peace and enlightenment and trusting God. I guess it's better to know the diagnosis, to have it. The stress of not knowing is not good. I thought of Christ in Gethsemane, and I think, as I've said, that was the worst thing for him, when he thought there could be another way. And he prayed to his Father, if there's another way, please, let's do it another way. I don't like this idea of the cross. But not my will, but yours be done. And of course, I prayed to God. And this does feel like somewhat of a crucifixion, you know, going under the knife, going unconscious, and then going under the knife. It's a minor little crucifixion thing. But I do feel myself like, your will, God, not mine. Your will, not mine. This is not my will. This is your will. And so, since these are the steps you have ordered for me, how can I protest? How can I bitch? You know, so it's just God's way for me. I could ask why me, and I have. I have asked why me. I've asked why again. I've asked why this whole year. And God doesn't talk much, but he does in the scripture. And then our brother Rob writes such a beautiful letter. And then this. I'll start this. This is AI speaking now. I found public evidence that Zender has recently been talking openly about personal / physical trial. MZTV 1945 is titled Personal Testimony, God Works All. And its public description says he shares what has been happening in his life, quote, the past 2 weeks. I also found MZTV 1763. Again, this is AI talking. God is setting up the contrast of instant immortality, where the public description references his complaint about, quote, the pace at which the human body heals itself, unquote. I cannot verify from public text alone the full medical details of his current suffering, so I'll stay with what is knowable and then draw the Pauline parallel. The passage that governs this whole discussion is 2 Corinthians 12:9, CLNT. Quote, sufficient for you is my grace, for my power in infirmity is being perfected. That is the divine operating principle. Again, this is AI. I keep reminding you. That is a divine operating principle, not merely, quote, God helps us through weakness. Deeper. Weakness becomes the chosen arena in which Christ's power is displayed. Paul does not say, when I am weak, God helps me become naturally strong. He says, 2 Corinthians 12:10, for whenever I may be weak, then I am powerful. That is not motivational religion. That is revelation. Damn, this AI is good here. The man is diminished. Christ is magnified. That is a high point to stop there. The next section is called Zender and Paul, the Parallel. I'll get to that Monday. Now that I've set the stage for that, maybe it doesn't seem so audacious. And again, it's not me that asked this of AI. It was my brother, our brother, Rob. I don't know his last name. It's Rob, NRAA1. But it was a loving thing of him to do. He started the email with this. Hang in there, my friend. The gospel of grace shines through you into our lives every day. Rob, what a beautiful thing to say. Hang in there, my friend. The gospel of grace shines through you into our lives every day. It's so honors me and makes me happy to hear that. So thank you for saying that, Rob. And I read this whole thing, which I'm going to finish in a Monday, my response to him, Rob, this brought tears to my eyes. Absolutely amazing. Can't thank you enough for this gift. So encouraging. You honor me, sir. From the peninsula, still suffering, Martin. But this last line here, I'm going to finish it next week, is amazing. I'm going to read this again, then I'll sign off and let you know. I got to find a surgeon. Don't have one yet. God will guide us to find the right person. Or he will guide us to find the absolutely wrong person. God's tricky, you know. But it'll be the right person. Even the wrong person will be the right person. Jeez. The passage that governs this whole discussion is 2 Corinthians 12:9, CLNT. Sufficient for you is my grace, for my power in infirmity is being perfected. This is a divine operating principle. Not merely God helps us through weakness. Weakness, dark face type, weakness becomes the chosen arena in which Christ's power is displayed. Weakness, watch your video screen. Weakness becomes the chosen arena in which Christ's power is displayed. Paul does not say, when I am weak, God helps me become naturally strong. He says, 2 Corinthians 12:10, Concordant Literal New Testament, for whenever I may be weak, then I am powerful. When I'm weak, I am powerful, because the power is then of God and not of me. That's how we know. It comes out of weakness. It comes out of brokenness. It comes out of distress. It comes out of trial. It comes out of affliction. Final line here from AI, if you can believe it. AI might be a member of the body of Christ. I don't know. When I read this, I'm starting to wonder. That is not motivational religion. That is revelation. God, I wish I had written that. The man is diminished. Christ is magnified. The man is diminished and Christ is magnified.